How about this?
They call me Dr. John.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl. Some or other.
Hello, and good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Vinyl Revival with me, James Shakeshaft. This is episode 6, and I'll be on air till 12 o'clock. However, I won't actually be on air as this is a pre-recorded show, so please do not try and get in touch because I won't be here, despite what it may seem. And the reason that I'm not here is because I'm very excited to say I'm actually at a Jack White concert at the moment, and a lot of you know how much I love him. Anyway, I hope you're all great, and I hope you're all enjoying the start of the week, and I'm here to make it better. And on today's show, we will actually be looking at the root of Jack White's career in a special 30-minute long documentary that I've recorded for you. So this show is actually going to take a slightly different format to usual, but it'll be very exciting. I should interject and say that that was Blue Sunday. What a wonderful way to start the show by The Doors, taken from the 1970 album Morrison Hotel. And I think that's just a fantastic record. And I was listening to it today, and I just thought I've got to open with that because it's just such a beautiful song. So as well as a 30-minute long documentary about the root of Jack White's career, that will consist of records that influenced him that I have handpicked. So expect music from Robert Johnson, Son House, Blind Willie McTell, Hank Williams, and many, many more. And as well as that, on this show, we will be, of course, selecting a Charity Shop 7-inch of the week and also adding an LP into our virtual collection. This is a show I'm very excited about, and to be honest, it feels a bit odd. I'm actually recording this on a Sunday, and I quite like it. It's quite a nice vibe. The sun's just setting on a sort of muggy day, but it's quite relaxing. It's a very therapeutic thing, is making a radio show, and I'm very excited about this week's. Like I said, it is episode 6, and I am James Shakeshaft. Now, before we jump into the root of what formed Jack White's career, I think we should reacquaint ourselves with a hit from the man himself. Now, there's 101 records to choose from when it comes to brilliant music by himself. And I've picked this one because I think it's a perfect blend of his creativity mixed with his influences. And it's taken from the album Distigial, and it's called Hello Operator. I am James Shakeshaft, and this is episode 6 of The Vinyl Revival. Stick around. absolutely explosive. That was the White Stripes with Hello Operator, taken from their second studio album, Distigial. And that harmonica at the end, that is just absolutely aggressive, isn't it? It's a brilliant, brilliant sound, so you can understand why I'm very excited to be currently, as you're listening to me, stood in front of the man himself performing on his tour with his second solo album, Lazaretto. And that album came out in the year 2000, the millennium. And we've got some good music coming up on the rest of the hour, so you should stay tuned. And it's now time for me to delve in to the root of Jack White. And I decided to make a documentary on this because there's just so much, so many interesting pieces that built up his foundation of his career. And I think it's a nice thing to share with you, so hopefully you like my take on it. And I'd also like to interject and say that this is the first time I've ever not been here for my show. I've never pulled a sickie, touch wood, and I've never not turned up. I absolutely love it, so I hope you don't think I'm slacking, but I guess you can call what I'm doing right now work. And I tell you what, if you do a job that you enjoy, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Just remember that. So kicking off the root of Jack White, the next song you're going to hear is Mississippi Sheik's Wintertime Blues, and it's an absolutely beautiful record. And I really do like the wintertime for certain elements. I mean, on the whole, I'm more of a summer man myself. I like to be outside in the evening time and watch the lovely sunsets, and I wear shorts and t-shirts and put on Factor 30. But in the wintertime, it allows you to sort of, you know, when there's not much to do in the house, you'll start looking through your records and you'll find some that you've not listened to in a very long time, and you'll put them on, and it's something that you can share with the people that you really care about. It's a beautiful experience. So not this evening necessarily, because you're listening to me, but in the coming weeks when it starts getting dark and cold and snowy and wet, put another log on the fire and go through your old crates and have a sit down in a circle and listen to some music. So this is The Root of Jack White, a documentary made by myself. I will of course be back after this to pick our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week and pick our virtual LP to go into our collection. Kicking off the playlist, this is Mississippi Sheiks with Wintertime Blues. Stay tuned.
How about this?
They call me Dr. John.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on Vinyl.
When the birds stop singing, dove gone in the wind began to blow. I said when the birds stop singing, and then wind. Came hard to fly. darling, don't you worry. Heaven known it's gonna be cold. Don't you worry about heaven known it's.
John Anthony Gillis, more famously known as Jack White, was born July 9th, 1975, and he was born the youngest of 10 children and the seventh son, which is referred to in his song Bowl and Biscuit, taken from the White Stripes album Elephant. He was raised in a Catholic household, and his early musical influences came from his brothers. He listened to classical music from a very young age, and this was intertwined with the likes of The Doors, Pink Floyd, and Led Zeppelin. Jack White began working as an upholsterer in the 1980s in Detroit, USA, and this unknowingly started his career in music. Coming from a musical family, it was something that he was surrounded by for a very long time, and he would make his way to work each day to repair couches and other household furniture, clearing them out of cigarette cartons and TV dinners. And when his eternal shift drew to an end, him and his co-worker would lock up and play music. Jack, initially a drummer, acquired a guitar after helping a friend move house, and this is a guitar that he still plays to this day, and one that I've had the privilege of seeing in the flesh. A beautiful 1920s style, worse for wear, semi-acoustic, pale wood with peeling accents. The sound it creates is raw grit and passion. And together they recorded an album called The Makers of High Grade Sweets, the rather comical title there, and this was the beginning for White, it really was. And since this time, Jack has written, recorded, produced and performed records as The White Stripes, The Raconteurs, The Dead Weather, and now a solo career, having recently released his album Lazaretto. And in this hour, we will be unravelling what contributed to his career musically, listening to some of these audio gems. So stay with me. This is The Roots of Jack White. It was throughout the mid-90s when Jack began playing in a number of garage rock groups throughout Detroit, one of which was his position drumming in Goober and the Peas, another fantastic name from himself. He was in this band till they broke in 1997, and it was at this point when Jack heard his partner Meg drum for the very first time, and said it was liberating and refreshing. The couple soon became a band known as the White Stripes. They disguised themselves as siblings, and this has been one of the great rock debates of music culture in the early noughties. Both with jet black hair and pale skin, it's a very believable fib. And the band says a lot about Jack's approach to music: primitive, organic, powerful, and clever. The band were musicians, but still Jack's inner entrepreneurial side shone through, and the matching clothes and instruments based around the American candy Peppermint Swirls was instantly identifiable as a brand. The band released their self-titled album in 1999 on Detroit-based indie label Italy Records, and followed this up a year later with an LP that's solidly in my top 10. This album is Distigial, named after the Dutch artistic movement, and it was on this album that Jack integrated songs of his own with covers of some classic blues records, Sun House and Blind Willie McTell, exposing myself and so many people to open a door into the amazing back alleys of American music. This is a record covered on that album as the final track by Blind Willie McTell, called Southern Can Is Mine, and there's a similar level of sarcasm in Jack's lyrics to that of the lyrics in this next record by Blind Willie McTell, whose distinct out-of-tune 12-string guitar is instantly recognisable. Recorded in 1932, the ragtime classic Southern Can Is Mine, this is the Jack White story.
Now look at here, mama, let me tell you this. If you want to get crooked, I'm gonna give you my fist. You might read from Revelation back to Genesis. If you get crooked yourself, it can't belong to me. Ain't no need you bringing no jive to me, cause your southern can is mine. Might go uptown, have me arrested, have me put in jail. Some hotshot got money coming and go my bail. Soon as I get out, hit the ground. Your southern can worth $2 a half a pound. Ain't no need you bringing no stuff to me, because your southern can is mine. You might take it from the south, you might carry it up north. Cause understand you can't rule and either be my boss. Take it from the east, hide it in the west. But when I get it, mama, your can won't see no rest. Ain't no need you bringing no stuff to me, because your southern can is mine. I eat in the morning, southern can belong to me. I'm not dreaming, your southern can belong to me. I'll ash it to ash it, mama, and sand to sand. Every time I hit it, you think I got a dozen hands. Give you a punch through that barbed wire fence. Every time I hit it, you say I ain't got no sense. Ain't no need you bringing no stuff to me, because your southern can is mine, every bit of it. Southern can belong to me. Get me a brick out of my backyard. Give you the devil if you act kind of hard. Ain't no need you bringing no jar here, honey, cause your southern can is mine. You get me crying, your southern can belong to me. Spank it a little bit, boy. Oh, your southern can is mine. Now if I catch your mama down in the heart of town, take me a brand new brick and tell your can on down. Ain't no need you bringing no stuff to me, because your southern can belong to me. I'm talking to you, your southern can belong to me. You may be deathbed sick as mama and graveyard bound. Make your can mourn like a hound. Ain't no need you bringing no stuff to me, because your southern can is mine. You hear me talking, southern can belong to me. Oh, spank it like that. Here we root the middle like it. Oh, your southern can is mine. I sit down steady with your eyes all red. What I did get your grandma dead. Ain't no need you bringing no jive to me, because your southern can is mine. Oh, you got to stop your poking and raising the deuce. I'll grab your mama and turn you every way but loose. Ain't no need you bringing no jive, your honey, because your southern can belong to me. Every bit of it, southern can belong to me. Oh, whoop it, boy, that's the way people like that thing. Ain't no need you bringing no jar here, honey, cause your southern can is mine. You hear me talking, your southern can belong to me. You might twist it like a tadpole, let it jump like a frog, but every time I hit it, you're gonna holler, God damn. Ain't no need you bringing no jar here, honey, cause your southern can is mine. You hear me talking, southern can belong to me. And I play it a little bit and whoop it. Oh, shit, I'll play that thing, boy. Southern can belong to me.
That there was Blind Willie McTell with his ragtime classic Southern Can Is Mine, famously covered by the White Stripes, closing their album Distigial. I am James Shakeshaft and this is The Root of Jack White. Now, White has always enjoyed working with analogue equipment and the associated working methods when creating his music, and in fifth grade he would listen to records in the attic and began recording covers on an old four-track reel-to-reel tape machine with his friends. And this is something that himself and a fellow artist at his record label Third Man Records, which we'll talk about a bit more later, take great pride in. And White became distinguished for his nasal vocal delivery and loose, explosive guitar delivery in an early New York Times concert review from 2001, done by a journalist called Ann Powers, who said that while White's playing was ingenious, he created more challenges by playing an acoustic guitar with paper taped over the holes and a less than high quality solid body electric, pardon me. And I think that sums him up down to a T. White is very much a first take man. Overdubs is a word that gets the death sentence in his studio, and he has a spur at the moment writing and performing style, playing without any set lists, and they're feeding entirely off the crowd's energy. Now, Jack sums up his minimalist approach to music in the opening scene of the film It Might Get Loud, featuring The Edge and Jimmy Page, which shows him constructing a guitar built out of a plank of wood, three nails, a glass Coke bottle, a guitar string, and a pickup, and he ends the demonstration by saying, "Who needs to buy a guitar?" Now, for me, that's the pinnacle of his ethos behind creating music. And this is where his early blues influences shine through, and I could articulate this, but who better to listen to than the man himself discussing the influence of Sun House on his music, and his favourite record of all time, which we will listen to after this little sound excerpt. This is Jack White discussing the song Grinning in Your Face by Sun House.
By the time I was about 18, somebody played me Sun House. That was it for me.
Yes, don't care how you're trying to live, they'll talk about you still.
This spoke to me in a thousand different ways. I didn't know that you could do that, just singing and clapping. And it meant everything. It meant everything about rock and roll, everything about expression, creativity, and art. One man against the world in one song.
This bear who isn't mine, a true friend and heart of mine. Don't you mind people grinning in your face?
That's my favorite song. Still is. It became my favorite song the first time I heard it, and
still is. I heard everything disappearing. It didn't matter that he was clapping off time. It didn't matter that there was no instruments being played. All that mattered was the attitude of the song.
Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. Yeah, just bear this in mind, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? You know your mother will talk about you, your sisters and your brothers too. Yes, don't care how you're trying to live, they'll talk about you still. Yes, but bear who isn't mine, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. Don't mind people grinning in your face. Oh, just bear who isn't mine, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? You know they'll jump you up and down, they'll carry you all around and around. Just as soon as your back are turned, they'll be trying to crush you down. Yes, but bear this in mind, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind people grinning in your face? Don't mind people grinning in your face. Don't mind people grinning in your face. Oh Lord, just bear who isn't mine, a true friend is hard to find.
That was Sun House with Grinning in Your Face, and before that, an excerpt of audio of Jack White discussing that record. I'm James Shakeshaft, and this is episode 6 of The Vinyl Revival. Now, Jack White's a musician who has brought roots music to the masses and had a hugely successful career. It's no reason Jack White creates such a stir in the music industry. Recently embarking upon a solo career, Jack has just released his second album, Lazaretto, and before that, Blunderbuss, a slightly more mellow sound in comparison to his other projects, but no less powerful, I tell you that. Jack performs his solo songs with two bands, an all-female band and an all-male band, known as the Peacocks and the Buzzards. The Peacocks been the female band and the Buzzards been the male. And this is a rather interesting concept that has given Jack's solo albums a unique diversity that's very apparent when you're listening to the songs. And he decides on the night of the show which one of these bands he will be using. So at this moment in time, I will be stood in front of either the Buzzards or the Peacocks, and I will let you know next week if you tune in at the same time, 11 till 12. and I had the pleasure of seeing the Buzzards performing with Jack White and Bridlington last year, complete with the incredibly talented likes of Ike Owen, who sadly passed away last month. I feel very privileged to have seen him. As well as this, over the past few years, Jack has brought attention back to the vinyl format, championing all kinds of creative designs, selling everything from scented vinyl, glow-in-the-dark vinyl, and a record with a floating angel above it, in his Third Man Record Shops in Tennessee. So unfortunately we can't get there, but they do have an online store. Now, over the past decade, he has never stopped working. He believes that if you are not working or creating, you cannot class yourself as an artist. You may as well be unemployed. And with a dictator-like approach to being a businessman, Jack has created an empire of followers, fans, and workers. This being said, it's now time to listen to another record that inspired Jack White, this time by the fantastic American musician Hank Williams. This is Lovesick Blues.
I got a feeling of the blues, oh Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do, all I do is sit and sigh. Oh Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you, she's got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she called me sweet daddy. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Well, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal. That's what's the matter with me. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal. But she don't care about me. Lord, I tried to keep her satisfied. But she just wouldn't stay. So now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues, oh Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do. All I do is sit and sigh. Oh Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet daddy. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues.
Lovesick Blues there by Hank Williams, a record that never fails to put a smile on my face. Now, the crucial thing about Jack White is that we're living in a generation where everybody has an idealistic view of the music industry, one where you can make a one-hit wonder and make enough to live in a mansion for the rest of your life and have a music video on MTV. And he really is the living, breathing proof that not everything has to be overproduced and auto-tuned and spur of the moment. Jack is something that will never go stale. His art will live on forever. I mean, he's one of the only timeless artists at the moment that I think are around creating. I mean, other than off the top of my head, I mean, Saint Vincent, she's doing great things as well that I think will go down in history as classics. But we're living in a generation where, you know, the teens of today are going out and buying MP3s, they're buying singles, they're not listening to albums anymore, they're not looking at a record as a piece of art. It's just something that's disposable, and I think that Jack is the living, breathing proof that real music still does get noticed and appreciated. So he's putting a bit of faith into my eyes when I look at how the music industry stands today. Now, I've only touched on the tip of Jack's career because we've only had a short amount of time to do so, but I hope that you've learnt a bit about him and enjoyed the music I've had to play for you. I have no doubts that he will continue to make music until he physically cannot get out of bed in the morning. I've got a lot of faith in the fact that he will always prove himself as an innovative, creative and original musician. And now it's time for me to play one last record to end the route of Jack White, and it could really have not been by anyone else. The name that immediately springs to mind when you think of the blues, and I'm not talking bells and whistles blues, I'm talking the real, nitty-gritty, down-to-hard-work blues, and that name, of course, is Robert Johnson, a man with a brilliant playing style that Jack White very much adopted and did his own thing with. The choppy guitar riffs with the slide guitar, and, you know, he's definitely got something to sing about, and there's only one record I was ever going to end this with, and that's Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson. I'm James Shakeshaft, and this has been The Roots of Jack White.
I went to the crossroad, fell down on my knees.
I thoroughly hope you enjoyed that, because I certainly enjoyed making it. Something that I've never actually delved into is making a documentary, so I did my best bit at it there, and I might do it again in the future about another artist. If this is something that you would be interested in, please do let me know, but of course if you get in touch now I won't be here to say anything about that, because I'm not actually here. This is a pre-record. So now we must return to normality here on episode 6 of the Vinyl Revival, back to our comfort zone. And that is the zone of the charity shop 7-inch of the week. And it's a nice change in tune now, actually. We've got a very euphoric piece of music from the 1970s, one that a lot of you will be familiar with. And I'm sure it's a 7-inch that you will find in any, and I mean any, charity shop bin. If you go into any shop, it will be there, and that doesn't make it a bad record. It's something that you can pick up for cheap, and I definitely think you should do that. I mean, I got this for £1. And the record that I'm going to play is by the Moody Blues, and the name of that song is Nights in White Satin, and I think this is going to be a nice way to draw us into the closing section of this show. It is, like I said, a euphoric piece of music. It's absolutely fantastic. And if you're not familiar with the Moody Blues, please do check them out. This is the A side, and the B side was a record called Cities, and this was released in October 1967. So you see there, I made a mistake. I said that this was a 1970s piece of music, and that just goes to show that it is very ahead of its time. So like I said, you definitely should pick up a copy of this if you can do that. Last week's Charity Shop 7-inch of the week was Kirsty MacColl's version of Billy Bragg's New England, in case you missed that. And we've actually got a cracking selection of 7-inches that we've built up over the past few weeks, so thank you everyone who's got involved. So released on Duram Records, it's now time to put another Charity Shop 7-inch into our collection. This is the Moody Blues with Nights in White Satin. Stick around for some music from Led Zeppelin, and we've also got to put a virtual LP into our music collection. That was The Root of Jack White. I'm James Shakeshaft, and this is episode 6 of the Vinyl Revival.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I love you. Thank you.
absolutely brilliant. That was the Moody Blues, released in 1967. That was Nights in White Satin, of course. That was our charity shop 7-inch of the week, and I'm so happy with that choice. I really enjoyed that. Bridging us into the next section of the show, we've got some interesting things to talk about. So as well as Jack White playing in Leeds, this exact same night, Robert Plant himself is playing at the O2 Academy with his brand new band. And that band's called the Space Shifters, and they're playing at the O2 Academy, as I said, touring with his brand new album. As if Leeds would be lucky enough to have two absolute rock legends in the city in one night, and I'm absolutely gutted that I can't make it to that gig, but I'm afraid Jack takes the biscuit here. And to be honest, I think Robert Plant is, vocally anyway, he's one of my favourite rock and roll frontmen of all time. He just does things no one else can do. I mean, he's an absolutely brilliant performer, absolutely fantastic. And there's a video online of the band The Foo Fighters performing this with John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin at Wembley Stadium. And it's actually quite a brilliant performance, beg your pardon. It's funny because Taylor Hawkins, the drummer, comes to the front of the stage and sings, a man that you've always seen shelter by a drum kit at the front of this stage in a packed out Wembley Stadium, performing this song with John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page, driven by the powerful drumming of Dave Grohl. It's definitely worth checking out if you've not seen it. And basically, if you've not heard, the Foo Fighters are actually going to be doing a stadium tour of the UK in 2015, performing at Wembley Stadium, supported, are you ready for this? They're going to be supported by Iggy Pop. I mean, don't even get me started. That's a concert I want to go to, but at the end of the day, I just don't see how Iggy Pop can support anyone. Iggy Pop, I mean, he's just such a brilliant performer and musician as himself. I just don't see him as a support act. I'd see it the other way around, but I think it'll be a great evening of music. And on this tour, they'll also have support from the likes of Royal Blood, who I interviewed when they came to Leeds last summer. So, Robert Plant in Leeds, what's that about with his new album? So, I think it's only fair to play a Led Zeppelin record, and it's a record that I love that I'm going to play for you called Rock and Roll, bringing us into the final 15 minutes of this episode. And I was out in Leeds actually the other night, and there was a lot of bands on. There was a lot of local bands, and it was all very melancholy. And I was thinking, what's happened here? I looked around and everybody was sad. They needed a Kleenex to dry their eyes, and I'm not endorsing product placement there. We're not allowed to do that on the radio. But no, I mean it. I mean, all the music was just, I mean, apart from a couple of bands, I mean, most music I'm seeing in Leeds at the moment is very sort of, I don't know, it just drags on a bit. It's a bit of a long drawn out affair of a mundane nature, and I think, you know what, we need some more rock and roll. Where's it blooming gone? This is Led Zeppelin with Rock and Roll.
Revival.
That was Led Zeppelin with Rock and Roll, in aid of the fact that Robert Plant is performing tomorrow night. But you're listening to this, sorry, he's performing tonight. You've missed him, forget it. You've missed him, he's been and gone, he came to Leeds and he's gone home already. Now, today, on the way to the studio, just before I set off to come to the studio, I began talking about a very exciting trip that's going to take place in 2015 in the summertime. I will be going to a place I've dreamt of going my entire life, and that is, of course, the South of America, where my love for music originated. I will be visiting nowhere other than Nashville, and I can't even begin to put into words how excited I am that I'm finally going to visit this Graceland of mine. Such a rich musical culture, and on your doorstep you've got Louisiana, St. Louis, you've got New Orleans, and all these absolutely, these places that seem like fairy tale towns to me. I just can't believe that I might actually be setting foot there next summer. And a lot of the music that I've actually played on the show today has originated in those places, and so has this next one. I'm going to be playing a song called Ode to Billy Joe. And this is a song, it's a gothic tale of a boy who lived in Mississippi, who killed himself on the famous Tallahatchie Bridge. And this bridge is a place that I've heard none other than Roseanne Cash discuss when I saw an intimate gig at the Brudenell Social Club recently when she did a version of this song. And this bridge is actually in a town that's just steeped. I don't know, it's got a lot of history there, just down the road from Charlie Patton's old house and Robert Johnson, who you heard earlier. It's only a small bridge, but there's a lot of history here, and this song is about, it's a narrative of a boy who committed suicide off this bridge, a very sad tale, with a very twisted air about it. And it was released in 1967, the same year as that Moody Blues song, but I tell you what, this is even moodier. And it is a brilliant record, and it's got a very scary tale to it. And like I said, I did see Roseanne Cash perform this song, and she did a beautiful version of it. And it's been covered by a lot, and I mean a lot of musicians, because it's just one of those classic American country folk numbers. But I'm going to play for you the original by Bobby Gentry. This is Ode to Billy Joe, and after this we'll be adding an LP into our virtual collection. And it is a very good one this week, and you're going to hear a song that doesn't usually get played on radio. Drawing us into the final two records of the episode, this is Bobby Gentry with Ode to Billy Joe. If you've not heard this record yet, you're in for a right treat. Honestly, I think it's a brilliant piece of music.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, well, Billy Joe never had a lick of sense, pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plow. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe anyhow. Like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe and put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. Wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? I'll have another piece slice of apple pie. You know it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson, they bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round, Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge. And drop them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Revival. That was Bobby Gentry with Ode to Billy Joe, and I tell you what, if your hairs aren't standing on end already, they will be after this next song. And like I said, I am going to Nashville next summer, which I'm extremely excited about, and this is a song, another narrative about that, and it is of course our LP of the week to go into our virtual collection, and in the theme of Jack White, it is an album by the Raconteurs called Consolers of the Lonely, and I'm going to be playing for you the final song from that album, which I've never heard on radio to this day. And I remember the first time I ever heard this song, I was walking back from school and I had my little iPod headphones in. Again, no product placement, we don't endorse that kind of thing here at LSR. And honestly, I just stopped. I honestly stopped. It was the first time I think music had ever done this to me. And it's a very dark and twisted, domestic violent narrative written by Jack White and performed by the Raconteurs called Carolina Drama, which features a young boy, his mother, a stepfather and a birth father and a little brother and, of course, the milkman, which you will soon hear about. This album came out March 25th, 2008, and it was the second studio album by the Raconteurs, and it is our virtual LP of the week. I have been James Shakeshaft, and this has been Episode 6. Please join me next week. Ending the show now is Carolina Drama. Enjoy.
I'm not sure if there's a point to the story, but I'm going to tell it again. So many other people try to tell the tale, not one of them knows the end. It was a junk house in South Carolina, held a boy the age of 10, along with his older brother Billy and their mother and her boyfriend, who was a triple loser with some blue tattoos that were given to him when he was young, and a drunk temper that was easy to lose, but thank God he didn't own a gun. Well, Billy woke up in the back of his truck, took a minute to open his eyes. He took a peep into the back of the house and found himself a big surprise. He didn't see his brother, but there was his mother with a red-headed head in her hands, while the boyfriend had his gloves wrapped around an old priest trying to choke the man.
to the truck, threw up and had to struggle to stand. He saw that redneck bastard with a hammer turn the priest into a shell of a man. The priest was putting up the fight of his life, but he was old and he was bound to lose. The boyfriend hit as hard as he could and knocked the priest right down to his shoes. Well, now Billy knew but never actually met the preacher lying there in the room. He heard himself say, "That must be my daddy." Then he knew what he was gonna do. Billy got up enough courage to get up and grab the first blunt thing he could find. It was a cold glass bottle of milk that got delivered every morning at nine.
Truth about the tale, go and ask the milkman.